Well, it's been some time since I've made up my mind to make Jesus Lord of my life. Well, I faced the fear, I've shed many tears, but Jesus, He stood by my side. Well, when I hear Satan say, "You're not even saved, you're traveling down the wrong track," I recall once again where grace withstood sin. Down memory's lane, I take Him back, and I take Him back to the time at an old-fashioned meeting, oh, in the presence of God, fill the air. When the saints were singing with praise and glory, sweet melody seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like light to a poor dying slave, and I walked Him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved. Never knew love till it came from above and took its abode in my heart. Well, the sun now shines brighter, my burdens are lighter, since Jesus, He gave me a new heart. Well, my songs have been changed, my life's rearranged, my journey is now a new road. And when that old accuser tells me I am a loser, I remind Him how He lost my soul. And I take Him back to the time at an old-fashioned meeting, oh, in the presence of God, fill the air. When the saints were singing with praise and glory, sweet melody seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was like life to a poor dying slave, and I walked Him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved. I'm saved.
Thank you, Brother Todd. Amen. Beautiful tonight. Very good. Psalm chapter 1 in your Bible, please. Psalm 1. And I have enjoyed the service thus far. Appreciate you teenage young people being here again this evening. God bless you. I would have had a lot more energy to preach with tonight if Brother Reed hadn't had that song just a little bit ago, all right? So if I quit about halfway through, you blame him, all right? Amen. My voice is not doing well. I don't do well in air conditioning. We don't use it a whole lot up in Illinois. I called my wife today and asked her how it was doing up there. She said, "It is absolutely beautiful." And I told her that last night when Brother Smith took me to the airport, at 7 minutes after 10, it was 100 degrees on his car thermometer. 100 degrees. And she said, "Well, how hot is it?" And I said, "Well, Brother Smith said that somebody poked holes in hell and the heat was oozing out." Amen. And that's how hot it is. And I believe that with all my heart. So I am starting to lose my voice a little bit, so I'd like to save it for tomorrow's services. So bear with me if I don't scream around as much as I do sometimes in a message. Let's stand together, please. 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 Asian. Please. Amen. Please. Amen. Please. Psalm chapter 1. Very familiar passage for you to read tonight. First three verses of this chapter. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to talk to you on this subject tonight. Happiness is tied in knots. And I'm not talking about K-N-O-T-S. I'm talking about N-O-T-S. Happiness is tied in knots. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, please help us tonight. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here, the good spirit in the service. Strengthen my voice. Help me to say what needs to be said in the proper amount of time, to leave time as Brother Reed comes in a little bit. Give us a wonderful evening. God, we're preaching your book. So, Lord, we ask you to honor it and bless it and empower it. It has everything we need to help us in this life. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Please keep your Bible open. I want to show you some things in verses 1 and 2. This psalm, very simply, is about the blessed man. The blessed man. Now, young people, I'm sure you hear a lot about being blessed. Being blessed. Being blessed. You know, sometimes it is hard to put a definition with that. Being blessed. And most of the times we look at it as meaning that we have food and housing and clothing and vehicles and a job and health, you know, and those are blessings. I'm not minimizing those things tonight. Those are great blessings, and we should not take them for granted. But I want to ask you a question tonight. How many of you young people, you know someone not saved? They use profane language. Maybe they drink alcohol or smoke dope. They're involved in heavy into rock music, maybe even gothic music. They never darken the door of a church body. They disrespect the Bible. Their bodies are all scarred up with tattoos and pierced through with studs. And how many of you know somebody like that who has food and housing and clothing and vehicles and job and help? I do too. A lot of them around Bourbonnais. So these are blessings. Yeah, they're blessings. They're blessings. I'm not minimizing that, but unsaved people can enjoy those blessings as well as saved people. Somebody mentioned in a message already this week, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Okay? Now, being blessed is something different than what I just talked about. The word means happy. Happy. And not just slightly happy, but very happy, delightfully happy. Let me say it this way. Happiness with a glow. Happiness with a glow. I know a lot of unsaved people with food and housing and clothing and vehicles and job and health who are extremely unhappy. One of them just died and went to hell. His name was Michael Jackson. On the other hand, I know people who do not have some of those things who are extremely happy. So being blessed must be the result of something more than just having, or it must include something more than just having food and having a vehicle, having a job and having health. The psalmist says plainly that the blessed man, the happy man, walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not. So the happy man's happiness is more the result of how he lives than what he has. Now, in the past 2 decades in America, you've been growing up in a society that has tried to convince you that your happiness is going to be directly tied to how much you have, how much you possess, how many things you have. Well, as I understand this psalm tonight, it doesn't have anything to do with what we have. It has everything to do with how you and I lives. And I want you to notice, young people, that the first thing we are told about how this happy man lives is what he does not do. Now don't take that lightly, because not only is every word given to us from God in this Bible and it's inspired and has life, but the order of those words is important as well. And the first thing we're told about the happy man is what he does not do. Now, a parent comes and says, "Pastor, my kids are not happy in the school. There are too many negatives. There are too many rules. Pastor, my teenagers, we're going to leave because our teenagers don't like the church. There's too many negatives. Or preacher, there are too many negatives in our youth group. My teenagers just have a hard time being happy there because of all the things they cannot do." So I got a problem here. I got a God who tells me that the happy man is happy because of what he does not do. And I got a parent telling me that the teenagers are not happy because of what they cannot do. But who should I believe? I think I read a verse over in Romans. I think it may be chapter 4. It says something like, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Say, what does that mean, Brother Angel, in the Greek? Well, it says, whenever a human being says something directly opposite what God says, that human being is a dirty, rotten, low-down liar. That's what it means. I'm sure every pastor in this room has heard those statements. Too many negatives, too many rules. Our kids can't be happy. There's too many things they cannot do. Well, friend, the Bible tells me that happiness is tied in knots. This happy with a glow man has tied himself to some knots in his life. He has some negatives. He has some thou shalt nots. And those negatives, those thou shalt nots, are part of what helps him be happy. I'll say two or three things about these knots tonight. Number one. The first knot is critical. The first knot is critical. Look at verse number one again. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." There is a digression here, young people. This man will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He will not stand in the way of sinners. He will not sit in the seat of the scornful. Walking, standing, and sitting. Obviously, the not walking helped him not to stand, and the help in not standing helped him not to sit. What I'm saying tonight is, if he had not had some knots established in his life, if he hadn't had some negatives, he would have walked with the ungodly, he would have stood in the way of sinners, he would have sat in the seat of the scornful, and he would have been in a mess, which is where some of you young people are right now. Because you've swallowed the lie, hook, line, and sinker, that you can't be happy in your Christian life because there's too many negatives. Too many knots in our Christian school. Too many knots in our youth group. Too many knots. I preached this message in a church not long ago, and the pastor of the church told me after the service, he said, "Brother Terry," he said, "I couldn't have handwritten a better message for you to get up in the pulpit and preach, because in the last 6 weeks, parents have sat in my office and sat in the school administrator's office and said, our kids aren't happy here because there's too many rules. There's too many things they cannot do." But young people, I'm telling you, if you've got parents like that, and you've got a church like that, and you've got a school like that, and you've got a youth group like that, that has some negatives and some knots established, some rules, you better thank God for it, because those things are directly tied to being happy. And I want you to notice here that this first negative is critical, because it has to do with a choice of friends or companions. And when you walk with unsaved or backslidden friends, and when you hang out with unsaved or backslidden friends, and when you run around with unsaved or backslidden friends, when you ride around in the car with unsaved or backslidden friends, when you spend the night with unsaved or backslidden friends, you are going to pick up ungodly counsel. You're going to pick up sin. You're going to become a scorner. Here is an eternal, timeless principle. You will soon be what your friends are. Would you like to know the direction of your spiritual life tonight? Just tell me who your friends are. It's very simple. My daughter got married a few weeks ago, and the congregant helping perform the wedding ceremony was Brother Dan Woodward, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dwight. My daughter married a boy out of his church. Sitting in the congregation was Brother Keith Gomez, pastor of Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin. Because I'm a junk faculty member there, he came to the wedding. Sitting also out there was Brother Cecil Ballard, pastor of Grace Baptist Church out in Marion, Iowa. Our four churches have done activities together by the dozens over the years. And you know what's starting to happen, Brother Reed? Our young people are starting to intermarry. Folks from your place have married folks from my place, have married place from Brother Ballard's place, have married people from Brother Woodward's place. They're all starting to intermarry. The good kids are all finding each other. I think it's a wonderful thing because they become friends before they get romantically involved. And when the foundation of your marriage is on friendship instead of romanticism, you'll survive. But you know what's also true about our churches? All the rebels on Facebook are finding each other too. Your preacher brought a stack of pictures the other day. We was passing through town, asked me to come meet him for lunch, and he brought a stack of pictures in that he found on Facebook. And here's people from our church, your church, and Brother Ballard's church, and Brother Woodward's church, all these kids graduated from our high schools, living like the devil. It's called radar. I'll promise you, friend, if you folks were together for 4 or 5 days in a youth conference instead of just three, and it may happen in three, you're from churches all over the Metroplex area in Texas and so forth and so on, the rebels in this crowd would find each other, and the good kids in this crowd would find each other in just a matter of days. And we can predict the well-being of your spiritual future based on the kind of company you keep. This man was happy because he tied himself to a knot. He tied himself to say, I will not hang around friends who aren't interested in spiritual things. I will not hang around friends who criticize the rules of the youth group. I will not hang around friends who are not working with the school to have a good Christian school. I will not hang around friends who are cussing and swearing behind the pastor's back and talking about him. He has established some knots in his life concerning his companions. Huh? Who are your friends tonight? And sometimes, folks, we almost set an unattainable expectation in our preaching. I'm not saying your friends have got to be perfect. There is no such creature. What matters is the direction your friends are heading. What direction are your friends going? They're not going to be perfect. They're going to have bad days where they live all day in default mode. But if they head the right direction. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to every young person in this room. Sometime sooner or later in your Christian walk, you're going to come to the place where you're going to have to make a decision about a friend. And you better have yourself tied to this first knot. Now, not, there's a big difference, young people, in being friendly and being a friend. You need to be friendly to everybody, but you don't have to be friends with everybody. And let me encourage you tonight, you make sure you tie yourself to this first knot. And you make sure you choose the right companions and decide, I will not walk with those who are not going the same direction. Number two, let me say this. The knots complete the charge. This man had some knots established in his life. Look what was the result of those knots. Verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at the third word in that verse. The word delight. It means pleasure. This man's pleasure was to obey the law of the Lord. His pleasure was to learn the law of the Lord. His pleasure was to carry out and obey the law of the Lord. This man is charged up with delight, with pleasure concerning the Lord. And I want to say tonight, young people, he's charged up for positive service to God because he has some negative. Suppose, let me illustrate it this way for you. Suppose that after church tonight, suppose I lived in the area. Instead of flying down, I drove my car over, and I go out in the parking lot tonight to go home, and there's Pastor Haynes. And Pastor Haynes is over there standing beside his vehicle, and he has the hood up, and he's looking at it, and he sees me. I walk by, and I said, Brother Haynes, you got trouble? He said, Brother Terry, you got any jumper cables in your car? He said, I got a dead battery. Left the lights on. Battery's dead. I said, yes, sir, Brother Haynes, I sure do have some jumper cables in my car. Let me go get them. And so I run to the trunk, and I come slipping over to Brother Haynes' vehicle with my red cable. And I opened the hood of my vehicle, and I hooked that thing on the, not going to hook on there, okay? But I hooked that thing on the positive terminal on my battery, and then I hook this thing on the positive terminal on his battery, and I get in my truck and I crank it up, and I say, okay, Brother Haynes, jump in your vehicle and start it up, man. The positive charge is flowing. Brother Haynes, is his car going to start? Well, no, wait a minute. Aren't I hooked up to the positive terminal? That's what red's for, right? Red goes on the positive terminal. And all the power of my battery, fully charged, is now flowing to his battery. You mean tell me he can't jump in his car and start his car up because I got the positive terminals hooked to each other? Friend, I'll tell you something. We could stand there till 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 3 a.m., 5 a.m. with my truck running, and this battery cable hooked up from my positive terminal to his positive terminal, and his vehicle would never start because the charge is not completed unless the negative terminals are grounded and hooked to each other. So it takes this to complete the charge. Now let me apply that little illustration tonight. Some of you, like I preached this morning, get an incredible amount of positive spiritual energy charged into you. Sunday school and church and school chapel and Bible class and camp and conferences and activities and teen meetings. And it goes from the positive terminal of all of those good things to the positive terminal of your heart. But there is no delight in serving God. There's no pleasure in the Word of God. There's no desire to learn about God. There's no positive energy charged into your heart. All those camps and all those sermons and all those conferences and all those Sunday school lessons and all those teen meetings, messages and songs and lessons based on the eternal, powerful Word of God. And there's no spiritual charge in your life. Do you want to know why, folks? Because some of you don't have any knots in your life. You have nothing negative to ground you to help complete the charge. You don't have a knot about anything. You don't have a knot about music. You don't have a knot about music. You're up and down the dial of that radio in your car. You've got those CDs hidden away. You've got those iPods full of trashy, worldly, hell-inspired music. And I'm going to tell you, youth directors and preachers, I hate to discourage us tonight, but I'm going to tell you, all the preaching in the world and all the powerful lessons in the world, all the spiritual energy we can pour into these young people, brother, if they don't get themselves established with some negatives and get tied into some knots and get themselves grounded into some things they won't do, they will never be charged up for serving God. Some of you, you don't have a knot about friends. Some of you girls, you don't have a knot about boys. You don't have one knot. All it takes is some guy to come by and slick talk you. You're going after him hook, line, and sinker, giving him your heart, going against your daddy who brought you into this world and loves you and cares for you and your mama, and going after the boy. You don't have any knots in your life about a boy. Some of you boys, you have no knots in your life about a girl. All it takes is one little figuresque little female to come by and tell you, nobody understands me like you do. Nobody listens to me, and I can't talk to anybody like I can talk to you. And you feel so manly. She told that to the last six guys. You got no knots in your life. Some of you don't have a knot about television. You don't have a knot about movies. You don't have a knot. Comes across the airwaves cursing God and all kind of filthiness and garbage and trash. And oh, you wouldn't turn the channel. You wouldn't turn it off. You would never do that. No, no. You don't have any nuts in your life about video games. You don't have any nuts in your life about text messages. You don't have a nut in your life about Hollywood foolishness and fashion. You don't have a nut in your life about dress. I am absolutely stunned at how something hits the airwaves out of Hollywood, and in days, it finds its way into our independent Baptist churches. Is there anything you will not do? Have you established any knots in your life? Have you come to an altar and knelt and prayed and said, God, by your grace and by your help and by your mercy, I will not. You don't have a knot about attitude. You don't have a knot about sneaking around. Young people, listen very carefully. When you do get some knots established in your life, you get some negatives scheduled and structured in your life, and then you get in your Sunday school class, and you get in preaching services, and you get to camps and conferences, and the positive charge comes from God's Word, and you've got some negatives grounding your life, you're going to find yourself all of a sudden charged up to do something for God, stirred up. Your heart's going to find pleasure. Some of you look at Brother Reed talking about, who was talking about being excited? Brother Grice talking about being excited about soul winning and excited about youth meeting and excited about Sunday school. And you say, man, how in the world can he be like that? I'm going to tell you how. The charge is completed in his life. He's got positive spiritual energy flowing in, and he's got some knots established in his heart and life. And the charge is completed, and there's a pleasure, there's a delight to serve God. How many times have I said to our youth man, Brother Reed, it seems like there's nothing that kid won't do. He has no knots. You say, well, Brother Angel, I think God is the God of love and positive energy, and I'm just going to concentrate on loving God and the positive energy that comes from Him. I'm not going to get bogged down with all the negatives and all the rules. I'm just going to be positive and love God. Did Joseph love God? Well, how come in Genesis 39, verses 7 and 8, Joseph said, I will not? Did David love God? In 1 Samuel 24 and verse 10, he said, I will not. Did Uriah love God? In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 11, he said, I will not do this. Did Naboth love God? In 1 Kings 21:4, he said, I will not give. Did Nehemiah love God? In Nehemiah 6 and 11, he said, I will not go in. Did the three Hebrew boys love God? In Daniel 3, 17 and 18, they said, we will not. Did Daniel love God? In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I will not defile myself. Did Jesus love God? Three times in the wilderness when the devil came to him and said, do this, do this, do this. Jesus said, I will not, I will not, I will not. Don't talk to me about loving God if you don't have some knots tied in your life. You've heard Jeff Fugit. How many of you folks have heard Jeff Fugit? Great church. National ministry. Strong stand. Future's as bright as the sun on the horizon. Grew up in the hills of Kentucky, Hazard, Kentucky, way back where they piped the sunshine in and the moonshine out. Not Brother Fugit, but his neighbors, okay? Make that clear. Somebody will go on the internet tonight and say, Jeff Fugit piped out moonshine. And everybody will believe it. Tweet, 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 whatever you do. They live so back in the hills and the hollers, you've heard him say this. They had a youth activity one time. They went to McDonald's. They jumped on a bus and they had to drive 70 miles to get to a McDonald's. And one of those teenage boys was standing there ordering his hamburger and the lady said, where are y'all from? He said, Kentucky. He thought he'd left the state. That's where Brother Jeff grew up. He went to Bible college in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Not a huge city, but compared to Hazard, Kentucky, pretty big. Worked at the carpet mills in North Georgia when he was a freshman in Bible college at Tennessee Temple University. Would drive home after getting off work at midnight, 12:30. Would drive home to the dorms there at Tennessee Temple through the downtown area. If you've ever been to Tennessee Temple, Tennessee Temple's right downtown, gentlemen. Drive down through all those honky-tonks and taverns and bars and nightlife. And I've heard Brother Jeff tell how so many nights he'd look at that and wonder to himself, wonder what that's like. Wonder what that's like. One night on the way home from work to the dormitories, driving through that section of town, he pulled his car over across the street from one of those places. He said, I think I'll just go in one time to see what it's like. He turned his car off, pulled the key out of the ignition, reached his hand up on the door handle to open the door of his car, walk across the street going to the nightclub. And he said when he put his hand on the door handle of that car, he heard his daddy's voice saying, son, if what goes on in those places is so wonderful, why are they always so dark? He let go of that door handle. Put his keys back to the ignition. Cranked his car up and drove to his dormitory. You know why he's happy tonight? You know why he's happy with a glow? Because he had himself tied to some knots. Are you tied to anything, young ladies? Are you tied to any knots? You tied to any knots, young man? Is there anything you won't do? Have you knelt at an altar and said, God, by your grace, I will not let alcohol touch my lips? Have you knelt at an altar at the end of a conference or a camp service or a church service in your teenage young lady body, in your teenage young man body, have you knelt there and said, God, by your grace and power and mercy, I will not let anybody put their hands on me until I'm at the marriage altar? Is there anything you won't do? Our kids are drinking. Our kids are smoking dope. Our kids are gambling. Our kids are shacking up. Our kids are involved in rock music. And I'm not talking about all of them, but I want to tell you something, friend. My heart hurts when we lose one. Is there anything you will not do? Do you have yourself grounded to some knots in your life? If you don't have some knots, the charge will never be completed. I will say this tonight and I'll be done. The knot has a flip side. You realize, friend, that every time you say no, you're also saying yes. You realize every time you say no to rock music, you're saying yes to honoring God. You realize every time you say no to getting in the back seat of a vehicle with a boy or a girl and messing around, every time you say no to that, you're saying yes to honoring God. Every time you say no to a friend who's not going the direction of living for the Lord, serving God. Every time you say no to a friend like that, you're saying yes to honoring God. Every time you say no to a bottle of alcohol, you're saying yes to honoring God. Every time you say no to a cigarette touching your lips, you're saying yes to honoring God. Every time you say no to running around and sneaking around on mom and dad, you're saying yes to honoring God. Every time you say no to filthy text messages, you're saying yes to honoring God, because every no has a flip side. Every one of them. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You get some of these established in your life, and it will seem like you are getting left behind. It will seem like you are missing out. It will seem like others are having so much fun. But if you will tie yourself to some knots, you will finish strong. December of 06, our daughter Abigail just finished the first semester of her junior year. You know, when Abby went to Bible college, I don't think things worked out quite like she thought they would work out. Things didn't work out for her like my wife and I thought they would work out. She's a, what is she? Bundle of energy. Her sisters accuse her of smiling her way through life. She smiles all the time. And she was a pretty girl. A head full of blonde curly hair. Naturally curly. My wife and I thought she'd get to Bible college and some boy's going to snatch her up. In fact, there was a boy who was already showing interest in her before she got to Bible college. We thought, man, we'll have to keep her from wanting to get married too quick. But you know, her freshman year came and went, and there was no boyfriend. Sophomore year came and went, and there was no boyfriend. Junior year, she didn't even want to go back. We had to encourage her and kind of push her back. There she was as a junior, no boyfriend in school. And along about the 1st of December, some old boy started showing interest in her. Gave her a couple of notes. She was upfront about it. She told us. And I know the boy. I know his family. She came home for Christmas break. She had a little stuffed animal with her. He'd given her. And Brother Reed, for some reason, I guess, I'm not sure I know all the reasons why, but for some reason, I did not feel good about that boy. And I could tell that this thing was starting to pick up steam. And I sat her down and I said, Abby, I'm sorry. Not him. The tears came in her eyes. I said, now, either you're going to call him or I'm going to call him. It's over. Along about the 16th or 17th of December, she called that boy and she said, it's over. It's not going anywhere. Well, I could tell it was hurting her. December 31st, we have a watch night service, and for the past several years, we have a big ice rink in Kankakee. I know that surprises you, ice in Illinois, but we do have it there, amen. Big ice rink in Kankakee. We had church and service and food from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Then we all went down to the ice rink. We skated, ice skated, they ice skated. I was on the sidelines watching. That's where all the smart people are, on the sidelines, watching all them people go around. And so I was on the sidelines there watching. We skated, they skated from 10 until midnight. And Brother Woodward's church came over from Dwight, and we had a joint church activity there. Boy, we had so much fun. And there that junior age daughter is out there skating around that ice rink. I'm standing there watching her skate around. My heart hurts for her. When all of a sudden, this boy from Dwight skates up right beside her and they start talking and they skate and they skate and they skate. And I'm watching that. And she comes home and comes to the door. My wife stayed home with the grandbabies so the other married kids could go. And she came to the door. Mom, guess who I skated with tonight? And 2 weeks ago Saturday, two Saturdays ago, three Saturdays ago now, I had the privilege of walking that young lady down the aisle of our church in a beautiful white dress to meet the boy who skated into her life. 15 days after she said, I will not go against my daddy. We got too many rules. We got too many things we cannot do. It's the reason we're so geeky. It's all the negatives in our church. And we can't have any fun. I'm sorry, but God said, the happy with, by the way, standing in that foyer before we walked through them doors. Brother Suggs, you were there just a little bit ago. Tell me Tiffany wasn't happy with a glow. Happy with a glow! Because they tied themselves to some knots. You're getting all kinds of this. You're getting all kinds of this. Do you have any of this in your life? Do you have any of this in your life? Are you grounded to any knots? I will not let my cell phone ring in church. I'm sorry. Hey, kiddos. You know what, Brother Smith? What if I just leave this thing right here on this, just stretch it across this table right here? Would that be all right? And maybe after Brother Reed preaches and gives the invitation, maybe some old boy, some old young girl just wants to come to the altar, kneel and pray for a while, and then just come by and take that cable and say, God, help me to have some knots. Because happiness with a glow is tied in knots. Dear Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. Bless Brother Reed as he comes with power, please. And may your Spirit work in our service. Bless these young people, God, to see the wisdom of having some knots in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.